1. We're just going to read the first 3 verses of John chapter 1, and then we'll jump down to verse 14, and we'll read verse 14 as well. If you have a Bible, you can follow the reading. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it, because I'll make the reading clear, because this is really the most important part of the meeting. But it's John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 1, and we read these words: "In the beginning was the Word." And that is a title for the Lord Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And then verse 14 says, "The Word, that is the Lord Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And we know that God always blesses the reading of His Word. My subject very simply tonight is to look at the identity of the person of the Lord Jesus. We want just to ask the question tonight, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Of course, there are those who have recently claimed by means of a fictitious novel that Jesus Christ was just a mere man. He was just an ordinary mortal like you and like me. That is the view of Dan Brown, and that is what he has propagated in his recent novel called The Da Vinci Code. As far as Dan Brown is concerned, Jesus Christ is just a mere mortal man. But as we turn to the Word of God and we turn to the writings of John, we'll discover that John would agree that the Lord Jesus Christ is a man, but John will tell us that He's more than a man, that the Lord Jesus Christ is no less than God manifest in flesh. And we really have a choice tonight as to who we're going to believe. Do we believe the idea of a man who lived almost 2,000 years ago from Jesus lived, a man who had never seen the Lord Jesus, a man that never heard the Lord Jesus, a man who had no acquaintance with the Lord Jesus, and he makes the statement, "As far as I'm concerned, Jesus is a mere man." Are we going to believe his opinion? Or are we going to take on board tonight the opinion and the belief of one who knew Jesus, who heard Jesus, who saw Jesus, who lived with Jesus, who was an eyewitness of all that the Lord Jesus did, and he declared that he believed that Jesus was indeed God manifest in flesh? Now, I want to tell you tonight, your decision as to who you are going to believe in relation to the identity of this man called Jesus is really going to determine where you're going to be for eternity. If you think that Jesus Christ was just a mere mortal man, then you're heading for a lost eternity. There's no hope for you. There's no hope of salvation. There's no hope of forgiveness. There's no hope of eternal life. If you believe that Jesus Christ was just a man like you and me, there's no hope of salvation. But if you come to an understanding and a belief and a faith and a trust in the reality that Jesus was no less than who he claimed to be, the eternal Son and the eternal God, and you put your trust in him, and I tell you, there's hope for eternity. There's salvation, there's forgiveness, there's life for you through believing and accepting what God said about His Son. So what does John say? John says, concerning the Lord Jesus, that He is the Word. He says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What is John telling us? John is telling us this concerning the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus Christ is really the very revelation of God to men. He's the very means by which God communicates Himself to men like you and like me. That the Lord Jesus Christ is really God, tangible, visible, audible. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. He has made Him known. And John presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word of God. What is a word? A word is a means of communication. It's the means of expressing the thoughts that are in our mind. And God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, He would communicate to us. He would express to us that which is in our mind. He would reveal himself to men in the person of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we cannot see God. God is Spirit, and God is in heaven. We cannot see him. We cannot hear him. But he's made himself known. He's communicated himself to us in the person of the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the alphabet of God. The Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Word. He's the Word of God. And we read in Hebrews chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus Christ is the very communication of all that God wants to say to us. We read these words, that in the days gone past, God spoke to the fathers through the prophet, but in these days in which we are living, these last days, he speaks to us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. God speaks to me. And God speaks. He speaks in Christ. He speaks in his Son. He speaks to us in the person of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is God's last, final revelation of himself to men. And my friend, that means it's vital that we have right thoughts about Christ. It's vital that we have a right appreciation of Christ. It's absolutely vital that we have a right attitude towards the Lord Jesus, because Jesus Christ is God's final revelation of himself. God has nothing more to say to us apart from what he said in the person of the Lord Jesus. And if you have wrong thoughts about Christ and a wrong appreciation and a wrong attitude towards Christ, then my friend, there's no hope for you. There's no hope. John says, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Word of God. He's the very means whereby God speaks forth his mind towards men like you and like I. John would remind us in these verses about the eternity of the Lord Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What John is really saying is this. Let's grasp this truth. He says that the Lord Jesus is eternal in his being. So when John goes back to the origins of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll notice that he doesn't just go back to Bethlehem. And he doesn't even go to the creation of this world or the creation of time. He goes away back into a bygone eternity. And he says, in the beginning, when there was no beginning, in the beginning of beginnings, there was the Word. The prophet Micah tells us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, that one that was born in Bethlehem Ephrathah, he says, but he is the one whose goings forth were of old, from everlasting. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he prayed to his Father in John chapter 17, he asked the Father, he says, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. And you see, Bethlehem wasn't the beginning for the Lord Jesus. Bethlehem was just the stepping into time of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is from of old. He's from of everlasting. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who has got no beginning and the one who's got no end in himself. He's eternal in his being. And yet, wonder of wonders, 2,000 years ago, that one who is eternal, he took a tremendous step, and he came into the restrictions and the limitations of the scenes and the realm of time. What does Paul tell us in the book of Galatians? He says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law, and that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's why Christ. This one who's the very communication of God's thoughts, the very communication of God's heart towards men. God sent him forth out of the realm of eternity. He sent him into time. He sent him to this earth with this express purpose, that he might redeem. And that he might adopt men and women into the very family of his Father God. That's why. When the Lord Jesus came into this world, Paul says he was made of a woman, and he was made under the law. He was made of a woman. He took upon himself the form of a man. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, as the Apostle Paul. He took part of flesh and blood, just as you and I have. And the Lord Jesus Christ was a man. He was a real man. He was a true man. He took upon himself true humanity, like us in everything, with this distinction. He was without sin. He was without sin. He did what no one else has been able to do. He not only was made under the law, he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it. Every other man and every other woman that has ever lived has disobeyed the law. We've fallen short of its standard. We've fallen short of God's glory. Every one of us have been marked by disobedience. We've been marked by failure. We've been marked by sin. But when Christ came, he fulfilled the law. His life was absolute perfection, a life of total obedience to his Father God. And so the Lord Jesus, this one who is indeed the eternal Word, stepped into time, was made, born, made of a woman, and he was made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. You see, my friend, as far as you and I are concerned, as we think of the law of God, then we've all come short of it. We've all broken it. We've all offended God. We've all grieved God. We've all disobeyed his commandments. And that is from the very youngest in our meeting tonight to the oldest. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. God just puts us all on the same platform. Every one of us. And if every one of us are sinners, every one of us have broken his law, every one of us have fallen short of his glory, we're all on the same standard. You know, the world loves to put people into different pigeonholes, don't they? That's what society is all about, just breaking up into the different stratas. And we've got high society, and we've got low society, and we've got people that are labelled this, and we've got people that are labelled that. My friend, as far as God is concerned, God just labels us all the same. God says all sinners, all sinners. The folks in the council houses, and the folks in the private houses, the folks that go to church, and the folks that don't go to church, the folks that stick a needle in the arm, and the folks that take the drink, and the folks that live a respectable life, God says, these are all the same, these are all sinners, every single one of you. There's not a single person in this meeting tonight that is better than anybody else. We're all the same, we've come short of God's standard, we've broken his law. What does that make us? What does that make us? Makes us guilty, doesn't it? Makes us guilty. My wife was down here at Kilmarnock Sheriff Court this afternoon with a wee lassie, and she stood in the dock. Guilty. Guilty. Stood with her head hung low. And as all the charges were read out against her, Mary says she just slunk lower and lower, lower and lower in the chair. She was just ashamed. Just ashamed. She'd broken the law. She was guilty. Now the problem is, there's folks in this hall, and they're just as guilty as she is, and you're sitting there with your head held high. My friend, you don't think it's more serious to break God's law than to break man's law? Do you not think it's more serious to be disobedient against the eternal, holy God of heaven and to suffer the consequences of that than to break man's puny laws and to suffer the consequences of that? My friend, you might never have broken the laws of men, but my friend, I want to tell you, you've done something more serious. You've broken God's law. How many times have you used the name of God in vain? You say, blasphemy. Everybody does it. In that moment of pressure, in that moment of crisis, it just slips out. It doesn't, my friend, it does matter. God's not going to hold us guiltless. Those who use his precious name in blasphemy, the name of the eternal God, it's a serious thing to blaspheme the name of God. God says, we're not to steal. Ever stolen? Doesn't really matter the value of the item, does it? If you take something that doesn't belong to you, then you're a thief.
And that's just two of the commandments. And we could go through the list of the 10 and we'll discover that every single one of us have fallen short and every one of them will fail to keep God's standard and therefore we're guilty. 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 Don't see many heads being down. Don't see many blushes. My friend, it's a dreadful thing to realize that we're broken God's law and before Him we're guilty. You know, if a person's found guilty in the court, you know, what's the next step? The next step's the sentence, isn't it? Next step's the sentence. And you know, if you're found guilty, then you can't complain about the sentence. Guilty people get what they deserve. That's the rule of law. It's logical, it's rational, it's reasonable, it's righteous. Guilty people get what they deserve. We've broken God's law. We're guilty. My friend, we'll get what we just did. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. That's the outcome of it all. That's the end of it all. When the Bible speaks about death, it's not just talking about that moment when we draw our last breath and we close our eyes and suddenly the warmth just drains away from our bodies. My friend, I tell you, if that was all it was, if that was all it was, far more than that. The wages of sin is eternal death. It's eternal separation from God. It's to come under God's judgment forever. And that's what men are heading for. Because that law that stands unalterable, unyielding, has condemned us. We've fallen short of it. We're condemned as guilty sinners and we're heading for judgment. But praise God, there was a man came. Man that was sent forth from heaven, God's eternal Son, and He came into this world, and He was made under the same law as you and I, and yet He fulfilled it in every aspect, without spot, without stain, without failure, without any disobedience. What a life was the life of Christ. Why did He come? He came to redeem. He came to deliver. He came to buy back those who had become enslaved. And that's why Jesus came. That's why God sent His eternal Son from the realms of eternal glory. He sent Him forth in the fullness of time, just at the exact moment. And He sent Him into this world that He might redeem, that He might deliver, that He might rescue, that He might save men and women who were under the power and dominion of sin. In order that He might redeem us, the Lord Jesus Christ took that perfect, spotless life of His and He offered it to God upon the cross at Calvary. And that one who was absolutely righteous, who was absolutely just, who was pure and perfect and sinless, He offered Himself as a sacrifice to God on account of our sins. And He stood, He hung on that cross as if He was the guilty one. The one that was totally and utterly guiltless. He stood as if He hung there, as if He was guilty of every sin that had been committed. And the Lord Jesus took the wrath and judgment of God upon Himself in these hours of darkness on the cross. The Bible says He was made sin. Sin for us. That's why Jesus came. My friend, it was no mere mortal man that could have taken the sins of others upon Himself. If the Lord Jesus Christ was just a mere mortal man like you and I, then the Lord Jesus could never be a Savior. He could never be a Redeemer. He could never reconcile us to God. He could do nothing for us. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, if He was a mere man, He would need to have suffered and died for His own sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ was that one who was the eternal living Word, the eternal Son of God, and He came forth into this world. Yea, He came as a man, but not only a man, but He came as God manifest in flesh, and He came to live a perfect life and to offer it to God as a sacrifice on the cross. Because of the death of the Lord Jesus and because of His glorious resurrection, there's hope for you, a guilty sinner. That's the message of the gospel. That's the good news that we're preaching night by night. Yeah, it's true that we have sinned and we are guilty and we are facing judgment, but there's hope. There's hope of salvation. There's hope of being redeemed, being delivered from the power of that sin, the slavery of sin. Because the Lord Jesus has taken our place and he's accepted our punishment upon the cross at Calvary. My friend, the Lord Jesus came to deliver. He came to redeem. He came to redeem by paying the ransom price, the redemption price that was demanded. Before you and I could be set free from the slavery of sin, before you and I could be released from the power of Satan, the Lord Jesus had to give himself in death upon the cross at Calvary. And my friend, we praise God's name today. But the Lord God was totally satisfied with all that his son did on the cross. And so he raised him from the dead and he seated him at his right hand in glory. And through his son, the Lord Jesus, God offers to every guilty sinner, he offers forgiveness. He offers redemption. And that redemption can be yours. That deliverance from the power of sin. That cleansing from the defilement of sin. It can all be yours. If you're prepared to confess that sin. And repent of that sin. Say no to it. Turn away from it. Abandon it. And ask for the forgiveness. And the salvation alone is found in the Lord Jesus, and that one who is eternal. He left those heights of glory and he stepped into the sin corrupted and defiling world in order that he might go to the cross and die for a guilty sinner like you and a guilty sinner like me. He came that he might redeem us, that he might buy us back to God, and that we might be adopted into God's family. We might be raised as sons in the presence of God. That's where God wants you to be now. You know what the Bible says about you as a sinner? It says you're a child of disobedience. You're a child of wrath. Child of wrath. You're a child that has been marked by disobedience. And because of your disobedience, you have come under God's wrath. A child of disobedience. A child of wrath. But praise God, through faith in the Lord Jesus, you can be made a child of God. A child of God. You see, I thought we're all children of God. But we're all children of God. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible doesn't tell us that. We're all, that God is the God of all men. But God is only the Father of those who believe. Those who accept His Son as their Savior. He's only the Father of those who believe. And the minute a person believes in the Lord Jesus, the minute a person receives Him, they are immediately given the authority, the right to become the children of God, even to those that believe, even those that believe in His name. My friend, that's why the Lord Jesus came. He came in order that you might be delivered from the power of sin and the power of Satan, that the chains of sin and the chains of Satan might be broken, that the shackles might be smashed, that you may be delivered from that realm of sin and Satan. And he came in order that you might be adopted, that you might be placed as a son in the family of the living and the eternal God. My friend, what a blessing. What a blessing. To know God as our Father. To the assurance that one day we're going to be in the presence of our eternal Father and enjoy His heavenly mansions forever. That's what the Lord Jesus came to take us not only out of sin, but to bring us into the family of God and to place us as sons before Him, to adopt us as sons. And as sons, as heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. That's the portion of every Christian. Every person that is trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, we're heirs of God tonight. We're heirs. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're going to share forever. And all that Christ has is ours. Because we're His sons. He's placed us there. In the valley of what His glorious, unique Son, Jesus Christ, did for us on the cross at Calvary. My friend, what's your thoughts about Christ today? Is he just a mere man? Was he just a figure in history someone that lived 2,000 years ago, just like you and I, born naturally and living just the same type of life as us. My friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ was just a mere man, as Dan Brown would tell us, and as others would tell us, my friend, there's no hope for you for eternity. There's none at all. None at all. But if the Lord Jesus Christ is who John says he is, and if the Lord Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and who God has declared him to be, if he truly is God manifest in flesh, and if he did live a perfect life, and if he did offer that life without spot to God on account of sin, then praise God, there's hope tonight. There's hope for guilty, lost, perishing sinners. But that hope alone is in him. The question I ask as I close tonight is simply this. What think you of Christ? What think you of Christ? In your place for eternity. Whether you'll be in heaven or hell is really determined on your attitude and your answer to that question. What do you think about Christ today? What do you think about Jesus? Who is he? What is the true identity of this man that lived 2,000 years ago? This man that has turned the world upside down. Who is he? Is he just a man? Or is he God? Manifest in flesh. Sent for in the fullness of time to redeem those who are under the law, that they might be adopted as sons in God's family. Is that really who he is? And the last question is simply this. What are you going to do with Christ?
What are you going to do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? What are you going to do with him?
You can ridicule him. You can reject him. Or you can receive him. You can receive him. Praise God, that's what I did. A long, long time ago, the wee fella, I realized this man. And I was lost. I'd broken God's law. I was guilty. I was condemned. I was perishing. There was no hope for me anywhere else but in the Lord Jesus. And I received him as my Savior. And he has redeemed me from the power of sin. And he's placed me in God's family. And he's guaranteed me a place in heaven. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my all tonight. He's my everything. What about you tonight? Who is he? Who is he? What are you going to do with him tonight? What are you going to do with him? Are you going to come on all your knees as a poor, guilty sinner and just bow at his feet and say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you with my soul. I'm guilty, I'm lost, and I'm helpless. But you can make me whole. Praise God, the Lord Jesus can make you whole tonight. He can deal with the problem of sin. He can set you free. He can bring you into God's family. He can give you a place in heaven. And he can all do all that because of who he is. Because of what he accomplished in that lonely cross, suffering, and Calvary. What think you of Christ? What will you do then with Jesus? Which is called the Christ. This is great. Now, gracious God and Father, again, we just thank you for the opportunity to preach the gospel of Christ. We thank you for the privilege of preaching Christ, to lift him high. We thank you for him. We thank you for all that he is and all that we've found in him. Thank you, Lord, for all that we've found him to be to us personally. And what we have found him to be, we long that others might find him to be also in their life. There are folks here tonight, our God, and as they sit in these seats, they're guilty, they're condemned, and they're perishing in their sins. Oh God, awaken them to their need tonight by thy Spirit and cause them to realize that there is only hope in trusting in the Lord Jesus, and grant, our God, that they might trust him tonight, and that they might be redeemed, our God, from the power of sin, and that they might be placed in thy family as thy sons, as thine heirs, and as joint heirs with thy glorious, blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed in thy word, we pray to every heart, and as we leave this place, we pray that the things that we've been pondering and considering might not be lost upon us, but we pray that those who are yet unsaved might ponder these things, even our God, as they leave and as they go home, and in the quietness of the night hours, We pray that these things would come before them. The Holy Spirit would grant a revelation to their hearts of who Christ is and the importance of them personally and individually trusting Him for salvation. Bless the word then, our God, we pray, and take us home in safety. And we do pray that they would bring us all back tomorrow night and bring many others in. And we really pray for a real movement of the gracious Spirit of God in this community. And we pray that many might turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him by faith. We ask these things, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll just close the meeting at that point and just ask you to leave quietly and just consider the things that we've heard. Just remember the two questions. What think you of Christ? Whose son is He? And what will you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It's only you that can answer these questions in the quietness of your own heart. But they're vital questions, questions that you must answer. And your answer to these questions is really going to determine where you're going to be in eternity, whether you'll be in heaven with Him or whether you'll be in hell without Him, and that forever and ever and ever. Remember the meeting again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We'd love to see you back, God willing, and then Wednesday night and Thursday night, and then right throughout the next 2 weeks as well, in God's will. Thank you again for coming. If you've said anything if I've said anything that you don't understand, then just feel free to speak to me at the end. We'd be quite happy to speak to you on a personal basis and just to talk through these things with you. Thanks again for your presence.